blessed Sunday to each and everyone. And yeah, it's great to see each and everyone again here in church, especially this early Sunday. I hope each one had a good Chinese New Year run around. Still not finished. I think there's 7 days more, right? So. Okay, so this morning we're now on our lesson 3 for our discussion of truth for living. In our last two topics, we talked about prosperity theology and biblical economics. And I hope that you learned something from that. If not, you can see Pastor Moore. Just kidding. So today, our discussion will focus more on social media as a tool. So now I suggest that you turn off your phones and, you know, just be righteous for a bit. No, just kidding. Social media, as we know, takes the form of a website or application that enable users to create and share content or participate in social networking. Out of curiosity, how many of us here have Facebook? Quite a bit. How about WhatsApp? Yeah, almost everybody. Yeah. How about anyone using that a smartphone? Throw her out of the window. No, just kidding. Yeah, so almost everybody has a cell phone now. Communication has become so easy these days that there are so many tools that we can use to connect with people that we care about. One of these tools is social media. Social media is no fun without internet. You can try it. Disable your Wi-Fi or data plan and see if Facebook would be fun or WhatsApp. No, it's not going to work. Without the internet, we will still be in the telephone age. No email, no chat, no Facebook, Twitter, or voice over IP. We will still be lining up in a telephone booth. You may have recalled that. Or waiting for a telegram to hear something from someone. That's the kind of difficulty we had without the internet. Internet connected the world in a really great way. And in the last two decades, life has become more easy because of it. We got search engines. We can search everything now. E-commerce sites, online services, and then the social media sites and tools that affected our lives significantly. Social media is certainly a tool that will remain with us for a long time. And perhaps that's going to be used by the Antichrist to, you know, for his work later on. And with these two, we can be productive either in a good way or a bad way. More on this in a bit, but before we continue, let's just go to the Lord in prayer to ask for His guidance today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for this morning that you've given us once again. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for your word, allowing us to know which way to go by it. We pray, Lord, that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit and open the hearts of each and everyone here so that we may hear your word and message, Lord, and be able to apply it in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue. So let's go to social media. Let's discuss about social media as a positive tool. What is the most obvious benefit of social media? Anybody? Convenience. It's connecting people. Finding long-lost friends and acquaintances from school and work, etc., is one of the main beauty of social media. Anyone here found her long-lost friend in Facebook? I did. I found my favorite classmate in grade 1 for the last 10-15 years. I've been looking for him, and I was able to find him in Facebook. And we were able to connect, so it's amazing. But I think he don't know me anymore, so an idea. He remembered me. Can you imagine finding your long-lost friends using the conventional way? You know, checking on a telephone directory or dialing 0 to check with an operator, you know, or asking friends. Not fun and easy. Maybe during the time it was fun, but to compare now, it's no longer fun. With few clicks now, you can find almost anybody anywhere, you know. We can keep tabs and stay current with what's happening with our friends and loved ones. Just outstanding. So let's look at a few use cases where social media can be a positive tool. The first one is praying for people. Praying for people. Having families and friends and fellow believers in our friend list, we can easily be updated of their situation and pray for them if they're not doing well. In old days, we can't have real-time update of our families and friends unless they're living nearby. But social media has made this possible now. Paul had not seen what we have today, but he sure made strides in communicating his love and care to the Philippians. And we see that in Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4. Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Paul, having remembered them, he prayed for them. And his memory of them is so fresh that he understood their lacking as well as their abounding in the things of Jesus Christ. With social media, we can do more. Paul was using even worse than Telegram, using his time. There was no Telegram. It was all about, you know, donkey horses delivering the letter. Who knows the other methods? Another example would be the Colossians, where Paul heard a report of them from Epaphras, where he also prayed for them, having heard their estate. And in Colossians 1, 3 and 4, we see this. Colossians 1, 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which he have to all the saints. Can you imagine if Facebook, Twitter, Skype, WhatsApp, etc. were at Paul's disposal during his time? Paul would have easily Skype and group chat the people and individuals whom he had ministered unto to pray for their needs, both spiritually and physically. This will sure help us think about how we use social media in a good way in our time. To pray for someone who may be in trouble or in need. Once in a while, we see friends posting their concern over social media. Now for us, it would not really hurt if we message them to let them know that we're praying for them. Imagine how we can be a great blessing to people we are praying for. I had a former colleague who was undergoing just this last few weeks, and he posted, "Oh Lord, help me, pray for me." She was asking for somebody to pray for her, and it was very timely because I was preparing this. I was like, "Well, you know, this is a classic example." So I did message her, "I'm praying for you," and she replied back and she said, "Thank you." You know, so simple, you know, simple actions that would make people see us in a different, you know, our Christian living alive and, you know, healthy. Number two, challenging people. Challenging people. Social media is full of people's life updates. We see what people are up to. We know where they are, their mood at a given time, their looks with all the selfies, their birthdays and anniversaries, the things they love, and so on. Our connection with people from our past is a wonderful opportunity to affect their lives. We are able to chat with people we haven't talked to for a long time and influence them for Christ. Paul challenged the Philippians, though his words were delayed and less frequent, and we see that in Philippians 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh, or be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, but ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What a wonderful encouragement, isn't it? Social media gives us opportunity we didn't have before. We have a way to communicate to people from our past. Social media is a tool that we can use to influence others positively and to lead people to the truth of Jesus Christ. Each one of us would sure have relatives and friends who may not know Christ. If we are shy and can share the gospel face to face, Facebook will be our best friend on social media. We can also challenge fellow believers spiritually if they're heading downhill with their relationship with Jesus Christ, to help them have a right walk with God again. It's hard to tell somebody face to face, hey, what's wrong with you? Why are you like that? But in Facebook, hey, everything good? Just want to make sure. Okay. So yeah, while we have all these opportunities, we have to remember to rely on God's strength always in having all this done in our life. And we have to do it with love and tact, as well as with little caution not to spoil our opportunity to share God's truth by being evasive or easily annoyed when we are asked of difficult questions or when we are rejected. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's perfect timing and leading in sharing God's word. The Holy Spirit will give us an opening as long as we have the desire, like Paul's. And we see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. We have to treat every unbeliever like this, and more so our brothers and sisters in Christ. I remember a fellow believer shared the gospel to someone, and she ended up getting angry, for she can't convince the person of the message she was sharing with him. And I think that's common. I went through that stage as well. She blew up her opportunity to share further the gospel to the guy, and she knew about it, and I knew about it. So I shared to her my lesson, the lesson I learned, that our part is to be faithful in sharing God's word, and the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. The convicting part is the Holy Spirit. It's not our work to save someone. We don't have the power. It's the Holy Spirit. When we understand that as a believer, we have to do all for the glory of God, we will start to realize that there is also opportunity to share God's word in social media as we use it every day. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Please remember this verse, because we're going to keep coming back to this one. And it's a very powerful verse. We can create a wallpaper in our phone, and just so that every time we use our phone, we say, oh, this is how it should be. And I do that. Just so I, you know, get reminded once in a while. So that will be the second one. So what's the third one? Encouraging people. Social media is also a tremendous place to share a testimony of God's goodness and grace in our lives. When God provides for our needs or sustains us through deep valley, social media is a perfect opportunity to spread the message of the benefits of knowing God. Like Paul's testimony at Philippians 1 verses 12 to 18, Philippians 1 verses 12 to 18, which would have caused believers to be more bold in being a witness for Christ. And let's look at the verses. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, knowing that I am supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Personal testimonies are powerful as long as our focus is on God showcasing His grace, bringing Him glory and honor, and not taking credit for what God has blessed us with. Social media gives us opportunities to spread the hope and grace of God through the gospel, reaching the uttermost. What did Jesus say in Mark 16:15-16? And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go ye all into the world. How do we do that? Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter. We have global reach. We don't have to travel everywhere, especially in Africa now or Middle East. So that would be the positive ways we can utilize social media. Now let's move on to the social media as a negative tool. Social media as a negative tool. If there are benefits we can get from social media as a tool, there are also dangers that can emanate from our use of the tool. And we have to be careful that we don't go into the path of self-destruction, which could cripple our spiritual life and our usefulness to God. So let's look at some examples for this. The first one will be bragging. Social media is a great tool to connect with friends and participate in some discussions that can help us with our learning. But when social media becomes a marketing tool to promote ourselves, that's where we go off track. As Christians, we should be aware of the danger of narcissism, which is self or excessive self-love and preoccupation with self, which is inherent in social media. Studies have shown that our overuse or wrong motives in social media can breed narcissism. So when we are drawn to this habit, it will be wise to utilize accountability where an encouraging spouse, family members, and Christian brothers and sisters can step in to warn us of our actions. And you see this in Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There is a reason why we are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just a name or a tag. We ought to watch each other's back and to help and strengthen one another, not to pull each other's hair. And if you do that to me, you're going to lose. For sure. Just kidding. Oh, no, I'm not kidding. That's true. As a believer, we have a greater responsibility of the things we do. For we are commanded that we must do all things for the glory of our God. And we see that again in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It is always good that we be conscious of the things we post over social media. Before we post something, we can ask ourselves, will this glorify God or will just shame Him? Having this thought in mind will help us avoid bragging. If Paul had Facebook or Twitter in his time, he would have probably sent a few pictures of himself chained with a soldier in a prison cell, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a big smile. And he did that. Now if I see that, that would be such an encouraging post, isn't it? Number two, wasting time. Wasting time. Social media must not be our priority in life, else it becomes an idol. And God hates idols. Many people today are drawn to social media for a bad reason, spending most of their time checking updates, watching funny videos, comment on certain topics, and so on. Games and TV shows would be another, but off topic for this lesson, but as equally bad when we are drawn to it, perhaps even worse. As believers, our focus should be our spiritual growth. If we spend too much time in social media or other things, and not on our Bible or some activities in church, then we really have to pray about it. For we have a problem with our priorities. We are reminded by Paul on the things we ought to think, and we see that in Philippians 4, verse 8. And to be watchful, for the time of reckoning is near. And we see that in 1 Peter 4, 7, and we can look at that. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, especially this Valentine's Day, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And in 1 Peter 4, 7, we are warned, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Being consumed by social media all day, how can we think of the good things and be watchful? Something to think about, isn't it? If you've been reading the news and you know the Bible, the more we should be spending time with our Bible and not the things that does not honor God. Unless, of course, we put into good use social media, that's another story. Paul reminded the Philippians of the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Once saved, always saved, but that doesn't mean we should just sit in the couch, watch TV, and do the social media thing. There's work to be done. The third one would be ranting. The third one would be ranting. Perhaps the worst that one can do in social media is to rant. Paul never used social media, yet his warnings and instructions are just as applicable as if he used it today. In Philippians 2:14, we see this. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Our standards as believers is too high, for we follow the examples and standards of Jesus Christ, the perfect God. We should reflect daily in what standards we base our living. Is it of Christ or of this world? If we don't know what living standards we are following, look unto Christ. We will never go wrong. His examples are the best examples we can follow. There is no room for ranting in the life of a believer, for even Paul being in prison, praise God, and did not complain about his situation. In fact, he was willing to do more, to give his life and be offered as a sacrifice. And we see that in Philippians 2:17. Philippians 2:17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Imagine Paul with his attitude and with Facebook. I can almost imagine his wall post daily. Instead of ranting, believers need to be more like Christ and be united in him. showing compassion to the lost and even more so for fellow believers, and must never compromise when it comes to the Word of God. Not only Paul, but also Epaphroditus, where he risked his life to do the work of God. And we see that in Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30. We're not going to read it. But upon seeing Paul, he got sick and nearly died. The examples of Paul and Epaphroditus should be a daily reminder to us of the joy of serving God, even in the most difficult situation. And if they had social media during their time, it's unlikely that we would see them ranting. They would prefer rather to share the gospel and reflect the life of Christ in their life. There's nothing wrong when we post our views about certain things in social media. What we just need to remember is, are we turning away people from Christ if we do it? That's a great reminder to me. I made a lot of mistakes in the past, and to each and every one here today. Number four, relating shallowly. In our friends list, how many would you consider your real friends? Maybe more, maybe less. For believers, if our goal is to point everyone to Christ, we must utilize social media to also build relationship and not just connect with people and be done with it. Remember our standard in doing things. We must do all things for the glory of God. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 10:31. And you should memorize that by now. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul did a great job in his time to connect with people with his letters and influence people to be more like Christ. That is quite evident in the life of Timothy. Paul showed Timothy how to serve God faithfully and diligently, and that examples resonated with Timothy. They had a father and son relationship in Christ Jesus. And having that relationship, Paul considered himself responsible of Timothy. And we see that in Philippians 2, verses 19 to 22. Philippians 2, verses 19 to 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Social media should not rob us of the opportunities to build into the lives of others, or if need be, to have someone building Christ in us. It is fine to have thousands of friends, but not at expense of meaningful discipling relationships. We need to build Christian friendships so we can point people to Christ. Remember, we have a responsibility to every soul that crosses our path. So we have to be mindful of this. Do you know that every people you meet in your life, those are coincidence? No. There's no coincidence in God, especially if you're a believer. Everyone that you meet each day, you have an opportunity, so don't lose that opportunity, especially in Facebook, where you have a lot of reach. Number five is pretending. Wow, there's a lot of negatives here. But it's good. It's profitable. Pretending. Facebook is not a platform to put out a good face and hide what's really happening in our life. Can you imagine someone posting in Facebook Bible verses and encouraging quotes, acting righteous and holy, yet you seldom see them in church? It doesn't match. Or someone posting nice food and places only to find out they are broke. That is not an honest testimony, especially if someone posting is a professing believer. We have to be careful with this, because people will see this and we may not know it. And you know what? Unbelievers are watching us carefully if we mean what we say. So we have to be careful with this. Paul was honest with his desire to be more like Jesus Christ, and he did not pretend to have reached the mark yet in Christian living. He declared that he himself was also a work in progress. And we see that in Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We are in the same boat as Paul. We are all a work in progress. If anyone here who has reached that mark, as what Pastor Crocker would say, come and let me shake your hand, because it will be an opportunity to meet someone like you. We must do, what we must do is to daily examine our life, whether we are living under the leading of God or a life that is out of touch of reality and honesty. If the latter, then we need to seek God's help in prayer for strength and leading for deliverance from such practice. Only God can take us away from that kind of habit. Number six, coveting. Coveting. Seeing posts from people enjoying God's blessings should not make us feel bad. No. In fact, we should be happy for them. Why would we feel bad? There's temptation to desire the things others enjoy, and we need to watch getting caught up with this attitude. Instead, we should be content with what God provides for us. And also use the opportunity to reflect what's lacking in our life. Why we are missing some blessings. Have we dedicated our life to the Lord? Are we serving Him as we should? Is the Lord our priority in life or something else? Is our heart towards heaven or in this world? You know, God is faithful even if our situation is hard. And you can testify in that. I can testify in that. How much more if we are faithful to Him in all things? If we get into a situation where we desire what others have, we are shaming God. It is an insult to God that after He provided for our needs, we desire other things we seek from someone else. That is not an attitude that God would bless, I guarantee you. Paul, despite his situation, learned to be content. A great example. And Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I can do all things, or both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He's dependent on Christ. He's not dependent on blessings. Christ, despite His throne in heaven, willingly obeyed the will of the Father and suffered an unimaginable beating and humiliation, but never sinned and never complained. If we are to be like Christ, discontentment must be out of our life. Avoiding problems, number seven, and that's the last one. Avoiding problems. How long should we run away from our problems? Keeping ourselves busy won't help. Soaking in social media 24/7 won't help either. The only way to resolve problems is to face it and deal with it in a manner that leads to reconciliation, repentance, and change of direction, the heart. Most of our problems are self-inflicted if we really think about it. And commonly they are brought by lack of contentment, too much pride, chicken, idolatry, and disobedience. Pride. Wasn't fried chicken, that was just it's pride. And all this can be resolved by just one thing. Anyone can guess? All these problems we have can be solved by just one thing.
Confession.
Could be. But the best answer is by obeying God's command. Obedience is key to victory over our problems. Many today know the word of God, they can talk like they really mean it, but are very bad at obeying or lacks the application of it. The knowledge of the word of God is good, but for it to be effective, we have to apply it by obeying it. Joe, I don't know all the commands to obey. It's too much. Just look unto Christ, our perfect example. Let me give you something for that. For contentment, Christ was content with his living condition on earth, having nothing, even if he created all things. For humility, Christ left his throne in heaven and lived a humble life here on earth, despite being the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the God of all creation. For priority and obedience, Christ, having known the suffering he will go through, he never backed down in putting his Father's will as his top priority, even if he had to suffer in the hands of his own creation. No greater suffering than this. Even from temptation, Christ, despite no food for 40 days and nights, never bowed down to the desire of the flesh and was victorious over temptation from Satan. You know why Jesus Christ was victorious over all these things? Because of his obedience. If we want victory over our problems, we must obey God without compromise. Christ is the perfect example we have in this life, and in him we are complete. And we can see that in Colossians 2, verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Looking unto Jesus, I guarantee you, we will never go wrong. He is our perfect example. What did Paul say in Galatians 5:16? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus Christ walked in the Spirit. That's why he had the strength to obey. Even he knew what will happen to him. So we learned that our use of social media can bring advantages and disadvantages, and depending on our desire to be used of God and ultimately our priorities in life, we have the option to use social media as a tool to honor God. Let's remember this verse by heart and make a wallpaper if you want. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's a very short verse, but it reminds us of how we should be acting as a Christian. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I got something to show you folks. And if you can, anybody has a smartphone, you can go to this website. I'm going to enable my Wi-Fi so you can see the website name. Just hold on. Okay, where is it? Okay. You should see that now. Try to search your Wi-Fi and you see, you can go to the website www.bible-story.info. www.bible-story.info. This site contains the gospel message, and the site is running for about 7 years now. You can see that. You can confirm it. Anybody can tell me how much likes do you see if you go down, scroll down on the page and see the and find the daily Bible verses section? Daily Bible verses section on the bottom of the page, just on top of that. How many likes do you see? Impressions? You should be able to see about 3.7K. Yes. 3.7K, that's an impression from G Plus, and that's equivalent to Facebook like. Now, many people today doesn't like or don't like to read the Word of God. It's the most rejected material on the web. But you can see there 3.7K impressions. The impressions are from those who may have read the message of the gospel. But many also may have read it but did not leave an impression. I set the G-Plus counter just 3 years ago, and the site has been running for about 7 years. So there has been more. Now, if you see the daily Bible verses link, you click on that. That's a link. Daily Bible verses link on the bottom of the page. And you will go to another page, which is the Bible Story Community. Bible Story Community. Now look at how many members do you see in there. You should see about 2.5K members. 2.5K members. So I also have FB. I have Twitter. I have LinkedIn and other blog sites. And I just do the same thing. I share the Word of God. I am using all these tools to share God's Word. This was not my idea. Nobody has a desire to do something for God unless they are used of God and strengthened of God. The Lord led me to do this when He brought us here in Singapore. I had a desire to build a high traffic website initially to earn some money. And it was going well. But somehow the Lord hindered that and led me into this direction to share God's truth. I realize now that whatever I may have earned from that high traffic site I work on, God blessed me more than that. But God did not bless me because I did this one thing. No. Remember Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first, not second, not third, the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. There's a condition for the blessing. Put God first and obey Him without compromise, and all these things shall be added unto you. So social media is a powerful tool to share God's truth. And it can be done. I've showed you an example. I'm not making this up. As a Christian, we were not born to please ourselves but God. And our lifetime is too short to be able to do it, actually. Remember, we are just here for a moment. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. So even in social media, let's bring honor to God. I want you to read with me Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And let's close with this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. If you're there, then you can follow me. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's all for it. Heavenly Father.